Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. In business, as in life, everyone makes mistakes. Warren Buffett said, "It's good to learn from your mistakes. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes." And because a lot of us make the same mistakes, wouldn't it be a good idea for someone to write them all down? I spent 10 years in my own small business and have been a Score mentor for 13-plus years. During that 23-plus years, I have made or seen pretty much every small business mistake, even by smart people, including the effect these mistakes have caused down the line. But everyone makes mistakes. I made enough during my tenure in small business. It's what gave me the impetus to join SCORE. I wanted to help those just starting out as well as those already in business who are having issues or problems. That's also why SCORE Business Points came about. The Southeast Chapter of SCORE and WBNJ wanted to do something that could help small business owners. With today's show, I hope to help you recognize potential pitfalls so you can avoid them. You may recognize mistakes you've already experienced, or ones you've seen other people make. You know the one Joe made, and it was a nightmare, as well as other mistakes that you're now, having heard this show, are able to avoid. So let's start with the basics. Why did you start a small business? Small business owners have no purpose beyond making money. Big mistake. There's little beyond the need to pay the bills to get out of bed in the morning. Once you can pay the bills, life loses its spice and meaning. Work and life becomes dull. All you can do is find new ways to spend your cash, and then you have to earn more money, leading to a treadmill where you're never satisfied. The real sad version of this is the people who spend all their time working. Then they realize they missed the opportunity to play with their kids when they were young, or climb a mountain before they got too old. It's even sadder if they don't even earn that much money. The opposite is also a common business mistake. You can fail to make money because you're concentrating too much on your why. People set out all the time to run a business with a social purpose. They end up either broke or freelancing on the side to pay the bills. And then there are those who will tell you to follow your passion. They're worse than people who insist you should follow the money. But you can avoid both mistakes. We all need to make money, and we all need to have fun. Why can't it be at the same time? The fun part might be that work is intrinsically interesting. The excitement of changing lives through our services, building a learning organization. Every business owner has a different idea of purpose, but there doesn't have to be a trade-off between making money, your higher purpose, and having fun. You can have both. We don't often think of making money as being a fun activity. Many people believe that to make money, you have to sacrifice fun. It's almost as if fun is something which we should keep for the weekend, or maybe a couple of weeks of vacation. But most of us spend a lot of time at work, and I think we should be having a lot more fun while we're there. I'm not talking about the vacation kind of fun. It's difficult to find many business ideas which require you to sit on the beach drinking cocktails before going to your next scuba diving lesson. Although, I have to say, that's not my kind of fun. Sitting on a beach would get a bit dull if I had to do it for the next 20 years. I'm talking about enjoying the process of working with people you like, the satisfaction of creating something new and feeling that you've accomplished something this month. That great feeling of mastering something new, something that was a bit difficult, where you had to apply yourself and learn a new skill. Maybe the warm glow of helping other people to do difficult things. It's always good to feel that you're getting better at what you do. These are all part of running a business, or they should be. In particular, they're all part of running a successful business, which is why fun and making money are linked. When you work on your own, or you're the boss of a small company, you don't have anyone to tell you that you've done an excellent job. Maybe your husband, wife, or partner congratulates you when you land a big job. But does he, she pat you on the back when you finally got the hang of something, or when you have a client thanking you for a job well done. We're busy, and there's always something new on the to-do list. Therefore, we don't take the moment to enjoy those good things. We don't finish the week thinking, yeah, I made a difference to some people this week, and now I know how to use X, Y, or Z. Maybe a business would be more fun if we could notice those areas we do well in a little bit more, and hug ourselves for doing well. Then there's the mistake of working with a cheapskate of a customer. The most soul-destroying mistake you can make with customers is to continue working with a cheapskate. You know who they are. The ones who never want to pay full price. It's funny how they take up all your time and then pay late, too. You probably set up your company to get away from bosses you didn't particularly like and be able to do quality work on your terms. Don't feel that you have to work for people who don't respect and appreciate what you do. If you worry that you need their cash and you can't walk away just now, that's fine. Just set a deadline and do extra marketing so you can replace them with better customers in a few months. There is also the mistake of getting into bed with the wrong customers. When first starting out, a common business mistake is to become dependent on just one customer. Maybe it's your old employer that you now freelance for, or the one gig that's big enough to fill your diary until they don't need you anymore. This mistake isn't the only one made by new businesses. I've come across business people who have one customer that represents more than 50% of the business. If this customer goes, so does the whole business. The opposite problem is where you work with a lot of different people, and you're giving the same amount of love and attention to all of them. But not all customers are created equal. Some customers and some types of customers are more profitable than others. Remember the 80-20 principle? It comes in handy here. No single customer should be more than 20% of your business. It's great if someone starts to spend a lot with you, but you should make sure you invest some of that profit from this customer in marketing. Get some really good new customers to balance any overdependence. It's well worth having a look at your least profitable 20% of customers. See if they can be made more profitable, or maybe you should drop the ones who are just wasting your time. Spend an hour or so going over your top customers by their value to the business. Also, look at your top products by highest total gross profit. Doing so can help you become more informed as to their value to your business. Not your cup of tea? Don't feel comfortable creating and interpreting spreadsheets? Get your accountant to do it for you and to make some recommendations. If your accountant can't help you, maybe it's time to look for a new accountant. How about the mistake of not cultivating great connections? Why is it that some people aren't born into privilege to do well in life? It's not because they got a fantastic education. It's because they associate with people who give them inspiration, advice, and especially introductions. You can't change how you start out in life, but you can make your own introductions and get great connections in business. How? By being open to associating with the right people and by putting yourself forward to join the right groups. My background is working class, so I could have had a lot of excuses for feeling excluded from privilege. My years in the corporate world taught me that you need to improve yourself if you're going to get ahead. So I signed up for courses, became part of networking groups, and went to industry events whenever I could. When I started my own small business, those courses, networking groups, and industry events proved very helpful. I was able to join a very different world to the one I grew up in. Someone told me long ago, in the corporate world, dress for the position you want, not the one you have. When I went into business, it was suggested for me that I should surround myself with people who earn more than me and are more established in business. I found this advice difficult to swallow when I first heard it, but it turned out to be true. Business networking isn't just for meeting your next new client. It's also a fantastic source of support, ideas, and referrals to your next new client or a potential collaborator. Make sure that you're associating with people who are on a similar path in business as you, preferably people who are further ahead, so you can hear their mistakes and avoid them in your journey. Your business needs to be connected with other people to create the maximum number of opportunities. Another mistake you can make is listening to others. Can I just give you some feedback? That can be a scary phrase. Now, don't get me wrong. We can always use feedback. The problem with most feedback is that it doesn't give us the information we need. Instead, it can move us back because it erodes our confidence. Maybe it's because, as humans, we tend to hear only the negative comments. For example, if you're wearing a new, say, jacket, and your partner has four comments about it, you only catch the one about whether you should have a bigger size. But don't let that stop you from seeking feedback. It's invaluable. Just avoid the mistakes I've seen clients make when they ask for feedback. Not asking precise questions. Clients can be a rich source of knowledge, but most of us are too terrified to survey our clients. Here's a tip. Design the questions so the answers will give you actionable information. Asking people, "How was it for you?" doesn't get you the information you need to improve. Unless they hated what you gave them, most people would give you a weak and uninformative, "It was great." Instead, think about what results would you most want your customers to get from what you do. Find questions that not only ask if they got those results, but verifies their answer. Very specific questions to analyze your weakest areas. The answer to these questions tell you whether you should focus your energies on fixing this area to satisfy customer expectation, or if you should put your energies elsewhere. The next mistake is listening to friends, family, and fools, or as I like to call it, the three F's. Most people may be one of these. Some are all three, and you still love them. But most of the time, it's best to ignore them when it comes to your business. You will, I guarantee, get feedback, advice, suggestions, and comments from your three F's. Don't listen to them. Your mother is not your target customer. Your best friends are not your customers. The three F's are likely to offer some form of the following kind of unhelpful advice. Do you think people will pay that much? Why don't you do one in pink, their favorite color? Why do you have so many buttons on your website? I think you're working too hard. Are you sure you should do that course to get better at your work? It's a lot of money to spend. I don't think it's realistic for you to have a $100,000 a year business. Oh, well, you can always go back to that job if it doesn't work out. There are a couple of reasons for these three F's nonsense. The first is that your friends, family, and fools think that either you're selling to people like them or you are the same as them. Your friends and family love you for who you are, or the way they remember you, or the picture of you in their mind. Which is great, but as you grow and develop your business, you're also growing and developing yourself. All this growth, development, and change will be very challenging for the people around you. They may sometimes give you feedback and helpful advice, which their subconscious had designed to try to limit you somehow. Why? They just may not be comfortable with this different side of you. Invest in some proper business advice from someone who's been there and done that. Someone who knows what they're talking about would be a good idea. A SCORE mentor is a good place to start. Competent, knowledgeable, evidence-based advice can catapult your business forward dramatically. It can also help you avoid mistakes, whether they're part of what I'm telling you or unique to your situation. But listen to the experts. In my 13-plus years with SCORE, I have met people who have already experienced some kind of business mentoring. They describe the mistakes they made in accepting the previous mentor in two ways. It was either he/she was nice, but seemed to ask me over and over again what I wanted to do, rather than helping me work out a concrete plan of action. Or he/she was great to talk to, but his/her business experience seemed a bit out of date, and I think that's held me back. If you don't think the mentor assigned to you is right, you can always request another one. One who has had experience in either your industry or area in which you are looking for help. Next is the mistake of being too busy to commit to learning new things in your industry or trade. When you're running your own business, you're always working. Whatever stage of business you're in, your to-do list is always full. And guess what? This is not something you want to hear, but you're never going to complete it. As quickly as you tick things off, you'll add new things. Sorry. One of the major errors many business owners make is letting immediate, urgent actions push aside the much-needed activity of learning new things. We want to learn and improve, but it becomes secondary to rushing around making sure clients are happy or staff are looked after. The problem with this mistake is that it keeps your business the same, which would be fine if you could stay the same. However, the world around you doesn't. It's always changing, and what works right now might not be effective in 6 months or 5 years. Think about it. Is your marketing no longer bringing in customers? Are the products or services you're selling not as good as your competitors? You may be out of date. Sometimes business owners are no longer in love with their business. The business is fine, but they feel bored and trapped. Usually, that's because they're too busy to allow themselves time to learn new skills. Doing the same old stuff isn't fun anymore. So if you have committed yourself to learning, I applaud you. It doesn't matter if you're reading advanced marketing books during your spare time or learning a new language. Keeping your skills sharp is what keeps you fresh. But too much learning can be just as bad. Think of this as procrastination. You're using it as a way of putting off real action. Wondering if this is you? Check how many of these things you own up to. Always signing up to online courses. Rarely finishing them. Not getting around to applying the learning to your business. Spending a lot of your profits on professional development courses in specialist areas. Having too many specialities, so you're not truly a specialist in any particular area. Reading inspiring business books, but instead of being inspired, feeling guilty that you're not as successful as the people in the books. Hiding away in courses and books instead of getting out there and meeting potential customers. Being afraid you'll never be good enough. Up next, the mistake of wanting results right away. We all want the satisfaction of instant results. When we do a marketing campaign, go to a networking event, or build a new website, we want them to work now. We immediately want those new customers, that big jump in our subscriber list, or the phone to instantly ring with people who want our services. Of course we do. We're only human. But when you're building a successful company, chasing instant wins can be a big mistake. Our culture celebrates the overnight success, the first-time winner, the number one hit that comes out of nowhere. But there's no such thing. Sorry. Whether you're looking at viral videos on YouTube, listening to hit records, or hearing about companies that make a boatload of money, they'll have taken one of two routes to instant success. One, major investment and the backing of a skilled marketing team who applies a winning formula. This is what's behind blockbuster movies, the rise of megatech companies like Facebook, or the latest rap star. Two, years of building up assets and skills in the form of knowledge, connections and networks, loyal customers, processes, and learning from failures and small successes. No small business that I know of has access to the first thing I mentioned, so concentrate the hard work on the second. It works, but you have to spend a lot of time building it up. There are very few James Deans in the world, and believe me, he wasn't the overnight sensation everybody says he was. It takes most actors years before they are recognized for their talents. The same applies to small businesses. Then there's the mistake of relying on your accountant. Many business owners assume their accountants will handle all the things related to money. Plus, they think the accountant will be able to advise them on things like pricing. Wrong. I have never seen an accountant do this. The accountant's job is to do the accounting, to make sure you have all the right documents filled in at the right time and sent to the tax people. Protecting you from taxing authorities is important and necessary, but don't make the classic mistake of thinking your accountant will do anything more than this. Here are a couple of accountant mistakes to avoid. Some accountants are great. They help you set up a system to keep track of your money. They also gently nag you to hand over your books well before the deadlines. Others, not so much. If yours doesn't make sure you know exactly how much tax you have to pay and when, well in advance, find another. Don't forget that it's you who's responsible for doing the company's books. Your accountant is just there to help with the forms and the adding up. And you're responsible for making sure you have the money in the bank when you have to pay the tax. Don't be like pop star Alanis Morissette. Her accountant was also her business manager. He was taking care of everything. Meanwhile, he was busy stealing almost $5 million from her without her knowledge or authorization. True story. Don't make the same mistake as Alanis Morissette. The last mistake is the mistake of not developing an investment mentality. You have to speculate to accumulate. Walter Winchell wrote that in his newspaper column back in 1941. The experience of running a small business is often tinged with fear. We don't worry about getting the next client. We worry that the whole business will fall apart and we'll lose everything. We'll do anything to keep things as they are, and this leads to a big mistake, putting off investing in the business. This isn't just resistance to investing money in the business. It's also a massive resistance to investing time in marketing, skill development, and taking on staff to do the work. It's not just in small business. This lack of investment mentality is even in cash-rich, profitable companies with ambitious business owners. This is a big mistake. You need to get into a mindset of investing in your business. That's true even if you're happy to have a nice little business without the complication of employing people or worrying about expanding. Spending money and time on learning new skills, developing a marketing system, or going to a high-quality networking event will all reap dividends. This way, you reach your earnings target or you take Fridays off. Maybe learning new skills will keep things fresh for you and keep your company a happy, creative endeavor. And if your ambitions and earnings targets are a little higher or ought to be, you need to invest. Work out how much you can spend on courses, marketing, or someone else to do some of the work for you. Do that instead of taking out all the profits and putting it in your personal account. Or, more likely, having it as a security blanket in your company account. Companies who do this are the ones who move faster to their goals. The business owners who don't will lose their enthusiasm and are likely to grind to a halt. Now that you know the big mistakes that I've made, and what smarter people than me make as well, you'll be able to avoid them, right? As humans, we are prone to carrying on making the same mistakes over and over again. Even when we know that something is wrong, we carry on doing it. I'm sure your own experiences tell you that it's easy to be blind about your business and just wander from mistake to mistake. So what do we do? Well, obviously, I'm going to tell you to connect with a SCORE mentor. A big part of what a mentor can do is react to the red light that goes off in their head when they hear one of those mistakes a business owner is going to make. Another part of their work is helping people get their mindset in the right place about running a company. Maybe by encouraging you to be more ambitious and specific with your goals, to invest more in developing your skills and assets, or just assuring you that you're on the right track when you're not about to make one of those mistakes. The Southeast chapter of SCORE is more than happy to help you with your business. Take the opportunity to use their services. It won't cost you anything. All SCORE sessions are free, and you can come back as often as you like. If you would like more information about this show or for that matter, any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at svp@wbnj.org. That's svp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, svp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education for the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast Chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars or in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.